Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Hallelujah. I want to talk to you today about praise. The Bible says, everybody praise the Lord, right? And the Bible says that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. And praise is mentioned all throughout the Psalms and all throughout the Bible, really. It's about 58 words that has to do with praise and worship as well. But I want to talk about just, I don't know if that I'll get to the meat of this thing, but I want us to understand, you know, first verse is the question, is God worthy of our praise?
Yes.
Why would you say that? Let me see. Why would you say he's worthy? Somebody, why would he saved you?
He's the great I am.
He's the great I am. He loves you. He's true.
He's faithful.
He's faithful. I tell you, yeah, we can name all the reasons why he is worthy of our praise. But here, you know, when we look a little deeper, we say, of course he is. Of course he is worthy of all of our praise. Turn to somebody and say, of course he is.
Of course he is.
Of course he is. You know, but here's the question. But do we know how to praise him? But do we know how to praise him? Sure we do. Well, we may know a little, but the Bible is so exhaustive on how it is that we are to praise him and how we're to go about that. What does praise look like? You know, praise has a lot of different faces. Praise has a lot of different avenues that it walks in. Praise has a lot of different looks that is demonstrated. And we need to know the depth of how to praise God. I ran across a verse that talked about praise is what releases the harvest. I want the harvest. You know why I want it? Because it's the Lord's. The Lord wants us to bring in the harvest because it is the nations that is his inheritance. So when we bring in the harvest, it's who we get. We give the harvest to him. But if we don't have a harvest, we don't have anything to give him of this earth. See, while we're here, we have a journey to take, not just for him, but with him. Remember Bob Jones told me several years ago, but he said, the Lord wanted me to tell you that you was fired. And I said, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm saying, go back and listen again. You know, but the Lord wanted me to tell you that you're fired. And I said, well, Bob, I pastor a church. What am I supposed to do? I mean, I'm taking this thing pretty serious, you know. And he said, he just looked at me and he said, you're fired from working for him. Now you work with him. That's a huge difference, people. Huge difference. I went home with a burden lifted off of me that I really, it was just like, instead of for him, it's with him. We're co-laborers with Christ, with Jesus. So we're on this journey with him to be able to go through anything that we have in front of us that is placed before us. Sometimes we go through difficulties. Sometimes we go through hardships and we go through sorrows and we go through the breakup of marriages. We go through, I mean, they're just loss of jobs, loss of homes. I mean, just on and on and on. We just go through difficult things. You know, Christianity does not shield you from the difficult times. Jesus actually said, he said, you know, in this world, you shall have tribulation, tight places that you're going to have to make a journey through, like the neck of a bottle. That's the neck of the bottle is called tribulation. Why? Because everything that's in it, when it's got to go through it to be able to be spilled out or poured out. So Jesus understood it, and Jesus was telling his disciples, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have a difficult time. He said, but be of good cheer. Be happy. Be excited. Well, I don't even like how that goes together. You know, I really don't. I mean, hey, be happy. You're going through hell and back. You know, so just be happy. Be excited. Why would I be excited? He didn't just leave it at that. He said, for I have overcome this world. Nothing you go through that I haven't already overcome. Name one. You can't name any. He's already overcome. And then you and I are overcomers in him. But on this journey, in the midst of all the ups and downs, and you know, it's easy to praise God when you're up on a hill and up on a mountain. Just got a raise. Praise God. That's nothing wrong with that. Got a new car. Praise the Lord. You know, got healed. Praise God. You know, the kids came home. Ooh. Praise God. I'm messing with you. Praise God. Praise God anyway. I mean, you just got over and over and over. You have these things that you can praise God over. And a lot of times we don't know the depth of what that praise should look like. The Bible is very specific. It really is. But it's hidden. It's specific, but it's hidden. And he hides it on purpose. The reason he hides it on purpose is to let you and I know that we need to dig for it. Why? He says, study. Because he says, I want you to study. I want you to dig. I told the class over here on Wednesday, I find X marks spiritually for me. I'll just be reading, and all of a sudden it's my devotional time, and I'll just be reading, and all of a sudden God will put an X mark. It just have me hone in on that. And every time I see that, and every time I feel that, I know that it's time for me to dig. I know that it's time for me to study. I know that it's time for me to research. I know it's time for me to go deeper than what I'm seeing on the surface. And the reason for that is because he hides it for his glory. So if you want to be able to see his glory and have his glory and have his glory demonstrated, you're going to have to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed. See, it doesn't say read. It says study. I think there's a weak thing that goes on in the body of Christ all over the world is we don't study enough. We stay on the surface and not allow ourselves to go deeper. And it takes time to go deeper. But it's time with him. You'll never regret it. This coming year, if you just, we have these read the Bible in a year. If you have never read the Bible through in a year, I'd recommend you. I've read it through several times and couple of different, two or three different translations. But read through, and wherever the Lord begins to speak to you about the Spirit of God that you need to go look at a little deeper, write it down, and then make yourself go do that. Put the time in. Don't you want to know more about him? Yes. Don't you want to be more intimate with him and knowing what he wants you to know? And the Holy Spirit, alone is the one who makes or knows the depths of God. So the only way we're going to know the depths of God is to follow the Spirit of God in study. Why? Because he uncovers things. He's just looking for somebody to sort of like belly up to the bar. You know what I'm saying? Just get there and get ready. Get there and get ready, because he wants to give you something. He wants to serve you the most choice food, the most choice morsels of what he has for you that day. And he wants to be able to not change your life, but to improve your life with abundance. He's already changed your life. You are a brand new creature. You are a new creation. Problem is, we don't know how to live it. And the reason we don't know how to live it is because we don't know the depths of who he is and the word that we carry with us. And what he's wanting us to do is just dig in. He's wanting us to be able to say, I know you'd like to be on Facebook right now. I know you'd like to be doing this right now. What I want you to do is I want you to spend some time with me. And I want you to search this scripture out. I want you to dig a little deeper on what it means to acknowledge him in all your ways. And he will direct, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. So that's good. I memorized that. What does it mean? I don't know. He says, study. Go a little deeper. Go a little deeper with me. He's waiting for the opportunity to walk with you on the journey of reading the words that are on the surface and then knowing the depth of what they mean. The knowing the principles and the culture and the context and all of that. And with an understanding, when you walk away from it, you got it. You knew something that you never knew about that verse before. You knew something. Now you know something that you never have seen before in that passage. You ever seen a prospector go up and have all of his gear, got his bag and got all his pans and got his picks and got his little items, and he goes to this place and sets it all up, sets his tent up. He says, all right, bring on the gold. Bring it. Lord, I've been here 5 weeks and I haven't seen the first gold come into me. Right, it's because it's called prospecting. It's called the digging, the researching, the looking a little deeper. See, the depth of walking with God is in the depth of your study of him. Got that? The depth of your walking with God. It's not that you're not walking with God. It's not that he's not walking with you. But how deep are we going? How deep do we have the very knowledge of who he is, and of we know we're who we are, we know he's in us, and we know we're born again, but now what? What do I do now when I have anger start popping up in me? What do I do now when I start having this conflict that's in the circumstances beginning to happen? Job doesn't work out. This falls apart. I don't have enough money for this now. This is, you know, how many of you have seen these things where your washing machine tears up, and the next thing you know, your refrigerator's going to blink, and the next thing you know, your tire's flat, you know? And you say, God, what's going on? You know, the answer that I get is usually, he said, I'm asking you the same question. What's going on? What are you doing? You know, so, but see, the thing is, it's easy to praise him when everything is going good. I had a man ask me one time, said, several people asked me, said, how's things going? Going great. Is everything going your way? No. But if it was, I'd be in worse shape than I am now. Nope, it's not going my way, because I've seen my way. I've walked my way. I've been down that road. I can be tempted to go down that road today. I've asked God before, gone down the road before. I've asked God before, God, where are you? He said, I'm over here where you left me. I mean, he's still with me. But he's not in what I'm doing. I'm challenging you. I really want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you to get deeper in the Word of God. It's good to come here and have, and I really do hope you're getting things when you come here, the depths of things that God is beginning to do with your leaders and your teachers and your pastors, you know, and taking you on a journey. But see, my study is delivered to you. Your study is delivered to others. You can certainly tell people what my study produced. Nothing wrong with that. But here's the thing about it. What is your study producing? What is your time in the Bible? With the computer today, it's just everything's sort of at your fingertips. All the resources of studying the scriptures are all in resources. I've got books at home that I used to have, word studies, and I mean books, just books that you'd study. Did you study the scripture? Just books. Is that true? Books. Brenda says, don't you think it's time that we just get rid of some of these books since you study mostly on the computer? That's like touching a sacred cow. And I said, no, I can't get rid of any of the books. Why? You study on the computer. I don't control the computer. I don't control the internet. I control that book that's in there. I can go get it. So I'm not getting rid of my books. Right? Because when these little devices and these things go poop, I don't want to be, I can't study the Bible anymore. Mm-mm. Well, I'm just trying my best to throw a lasso around that clock tied to an anchor. Hold it! Let me go over the introduction of this, and we'll talk about some more later. Yes, he is, but do we know how? Understanding the blessings of praise. Understand, it says, praise is a sign of you seeking God, over in Psalm 22:26. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. So the next thing, something bad happens. If you're seeking him, you'll praise him. That's what the Bible says. It's a sign of you seeking God. But I don't feel like it. You're not walking by your feelings. And neither am I. But you don't know what I'm going through. That's true, but he does. And he says, those who seek me. See, if there's any time to seek him, it's when things are not going too good. We ought to seek him all the time. He said, it's a sign you're seeking me when you praise me, even though you don't feel like it. Maybe you've ever been there. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to anyway. Okay. The next thing is praise makes God known, over in Psalm 76. Let me see if I can find it. It says, in Judah, in praise, Judah means praise. In Judah, praise, God is known. You want more people to know about God? You want more people to know God? How much do you praise him? Why are you so happy? Why is it that you're always saying, you always say, well, praise the Lord. Even, this thing happened, this thing. Why? Making him known. Make God known by your praise. Yes? Amen. Next thing. Praise is a vehicle of communication from one generation to another. From one generation to another, praise is the vehicle that takes that course, that takes that highway. Psalm 145, one generation shall praise thy works to another. Mom, I'm thinking about going to church. Well, I tried that too, but it didn't work for me. Go ahead, and he might want to do it. No, that don't work. Or you go to church and took him to church, but you live another way at home. I'm really not fussing at you. I'm just saying the reality of who he is needs to be every day, all the time. Whether you're home, whether you're at church, whether you're at work, wherever it is. He says one generation will praise and build up the next generation. It'll be through praise that the next generation, it'll be the proclamation of who God is that they get from home And that's through modeling. Jesus modeled, not just told the disciples how to do it. He modeled, he demonstrated in his walk how to do that, how to do whatever it is that we're called to do. So praise has so much value to us, but yet sometimes we don't know how to do it. From one generation to another, you want to reach this generation, what do you call it? Millennials? Praise God. Teach them the praises of your God. Teach them what God's done for you. They are so savvy. That generation is so savvy about seeing the reality. They have so much discernment that you and I can't fake it anymore and get them to believe it. That's a good thing. Why? Because God's shaking the situation, and anything that's not of Him is going to sort of go away, but everything that's Him is going to be there, it's going to be solid. Y'all with me? So start communicating to another generation through proclamation, through praise. Understanding the lessons here, it says that praise shall go up first before the battle. Boy, I really like that. Old Judges 20 says, "And the children of Israel rose and went to the house of God and asked counsel of God." So they're about to go into battle. They got up real early and went in to see God, and they wanted His counsel. I'd say that's pretty wise. "And said, which of us shall go up first to battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. Praise shall go up first." What does that tell you? When difficulties come, I heard Mary. By the way, Mary, you are doing an excellent job teaching about worship and dance. You're just doing an excellent job. You really are. I'm sort of surprised. No, I'm not surprised you're doing that good. I'm surprised you hadn't been doing it already. Yeah. But it says, hey, you're in the battle, get up and get ask God. God, what do you want me to see? When tough times come, what should you do first? Praise the Lord. To go to God and say, hey, God, do you see this? You see what's happening? Yeah, He sees it. What do you think I ought to do? Praise shall go first before the battle. Don't go into a battle without praising Him first. Bad news. Praise Him first. Let's see. Is this thing working? It's frozen. Praise is God's way of ambush, and it's got His way to ambush and rout the enemy. It's over in 2 Chronicles. I just love this passage. I really do. I mean, there's about three armies against one. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? They come up, and the Lord gives them a word and says, and they say, put the trust in the Lord your God, and you'll be established. Put your trust in His prophets, and you'll succeed. Pause. And you'll succeed. And when He counseled with the people, that He appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised Him in holy attire. And as they went out before the army, they said, "Give thanks unto the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting." They're facing three times as many people as you have. And when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, who had come against Judah, and so they were routed. We want to praise Him after we've already gone through it and everything, and hey, I'm still here. I'm still alive. But He says, "Pray." You can praise Him then, but we need to praise Him at the beginning. I heard Mary talking about the warfare that we do. And you know, there are a lot of Christians that don't believe in spiritual warfare. I've been told that by pastors. There's no such thing as spiritual warfare. I said, well, I'm going to come live with you for a while. So I'm catching it over at our place. You don't go through difficulties? Oh, yeah, we go through difficulties. And I said, He said, well, he's conquered all of that. I got it. But have you? He actually told me, he said, I don't believe in demons. He also said, y'all see a demon behind every bush. And I said, no, not everyone. Every other one, probably. And I said, I don't believe in demons. And I said, really? How you figure? We can get so twisted up on what we believe because we have not studied. We allow another person or another denomination or another system tell us how we need to believe and how we need to walk and how we need to live. I want some of my enemies routed, don't you? I'd like to set an ambush. Now, I don't have any flesh and blood that's an enemy. My enemy's not flesh and blood. So don't you come up to me and say, I had a flat tire because of you, Pastor. Because I never have liked you. I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you. I really am. I shouldn't have said that. See, there's enemies there's things that happen in the spirit realm that the enemy sets place that wants us to be tripped up, wants us to be slowed down, wants us to be take another route, or just don't follow God in the middle of it. I want some of those ambushed, and I want some of those routed. How am I going to get that? My Bible says, praise him. Praise him. Obey him, but praise him. Well, that's all for today. If you got these little, did everybody get one of those? We're going to be talking about those next week. And in detail, in depth. This is, you know, do you really like to know deeper than just on the surface? Do you know that seeds that are just thrown on the surface are easy to be picked up by the enemy? Just throw it on the surface, easy to be picked up. That's the reason most seeds are, you have to dig the terrain and put the seed in. You have to go a little bit deeper than just the surface. I honestly believe God is taking this house deeper in him so that we will be able to face any difficulty that the enemy is going to be bringing forth. Why? Because you're hungry. You have a desire for him. You have a hunger to know him. You have a hunger to demonstrate who he is, no matter what you're going through. Invite somebody to come with you next week. They may never come back. But they need to experience it one time. No, I'm just messing with you. They may. I'm not ashamed of God. I'm not ashamed of our worship. I'm really not. Not ashamed of our music. I love what God is doing here. But I'm telling you, as part of the body of Christ, God is getting you ready for a harvest you never dreamed of. I want it. Do you? Stand to your feet. Y'all remember that song, Thy Loving Kindness is Better Than Life? Is Charlie here? Is he? He's down there? Okay. Michael, do you know that song? Thy Loving Kindness is Better Than Life. You don't know that one? You know it? Do you know it? Come on up here, Mr. Ed. How many of you know Mr. Ed was a talking horse? This is a different Mr. Ed. Come on, buddy. Now, that's not the first time he's ever heard that. Bless you. I'll play. Thank you. I didn't know you could play the piano. Oh, well. Is that it? It's better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. God, you're dismissed. God bless you.
I don't know if you're going to sing or not.
Yeah, I'll leave that to you.
Wonderful. God bless you, church.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.